Good morning, everybody. It's really good to be with you. Look at all of you. And I have to admit, you know, Mark, this young guy over here that's traveling with me, we both were saying to each other, we're kind of sad to actually have to leave. We really felt so welcomed here. And we believe that you are only just beginning to see all that God has for you.
Amen. Amen.
These are the early years, friends. Like, I was asking about the dates this morning. You're only 7 years in. You know, and I spent 45 years leading the one church. So, got a ways to go out there. But, you know, over time, God unveils things and unfolds things, brings more into play. So you're just at the beginning. God is going to do great things. And one of the best things that I'm seeing is just God has brought a whole bunch of younger people into this church that are on fire for Jesus and that are working with him, which means you got another whole generation to go. You know, so I have to say that is so encouraging to an old man like me to see, because it means it's going to keep going. Because in the end, of course, it doesn't depend on any one person, does it? You know, when I first encountered the Holy Spirit in a very powerful way, everything changed. Completely changed. It was, you know, a lot of times when people talk about, you know, the, you know, knowing the Holy Spirit or encountering the Holy Spirit, what we maybe imagine is maybe a little bit of a warm feeling, or you know, a moment of feeling a little bit teary-eyed. For me, it was not like that at all. It was so much power, I thought I was going to die for 3.5 hours. I mean, there was so much that I thought I couldn't even take anymore. Hello. The dog knows when communion's happening. Comes in to get the crumbs. So, you know, there's, you know, one of the things I'm always wanting to tell people is there's more than you think. There's more than you think. And it really changed me. And the interesting thing is, if you look in the book of Acts, Acts 1:8, Jesus tells his disciples, and this is among his last words that he's giving his disciples, he says to them, don't leave Jerusalem. Basically, don't do anything until you receive this power from the Holy Spirit. Jesus has a plan for his people. He has a plan for his church. And the plan is that is not that we should have to do it all ourselves. You are not meant to be alone. And you are not meant to have to do this walk or do this work in your own strength. And with your own intelligence or whatever, or working harder, that is not the plan that Jesus had in mind. What he actually says is not work harder. What he says is wait. Wait. Just wait. Just wait. And the Holy Spirit will come and he will release the power. And then you will do the thing that needs to be done. Not in your power, but in his power. That's the plan of Jesus. And you know, it's interesting because the scripture also tells us in the book of Ephesians, we can't even really fully understand the love of God without the help of the Holy Spirit. We actually need his power even to understand his love. Like, you'll say, yeah, I know God loves me. No, you don't. Not really, because when you've encountered this love by the power of the Spirit, all the time I see it, and people say, oh, I never knew there was so much love. That I never knew. You know, because he brings it to us in a powerful way. And so that's so important that we wait for him and let him do the work, because this walk with God, we don't have to do alone. This life, we don't have to do alone. This work of the church, we don't have to do alone. But he comes with us by the power of the Spirit. But here's the thing. He's promised it. He's told us it's important, that we should not even try without it. Yet, for a lot of people, it doesn't really seem to happen. Have you noticed that? For a lot of people, it seems like somehow it doesn't. They don't get connected. It's like, you know, the charging plug got lost for them somewhere. And they believe in Jesus. They love Jesus. But the thing about getting connected to power never seemed to happen for them. And for them, it's just sort of like, yeah, I got to do this all by myself. And they're you know, having to make it happen themselves. Why is that? Why does that happen for some of us? And there are a number of reasons why it might happen. But you know what? One of the biggest reasons is that there's an enemy who doesn't want us to know how good God is and how much he has for us. He doesn't want us to know. And so he puts things in our minds that hold us back. John 8:44, Jesus talks about, you know, the father of the devil and how he's the father of lies. He's the father of lies, and when he speaks, he's lying. And what he does is he comes to us and he puts lies in our head. And the lies he puts in, you know, over and over, day after day, kind of just keeps bringing them up. And then pretty soon you start to believe the lies. And then once you start to believe the lies, then it gets really hard to receive the Holy Spirit and to receive what he's giving to you. So what I want, you know, it's an interesting thing. A year ago, this spring, I traveled to Baku, Azerbaijan, which is a Muslim country. But you might not know this, but we have a very thriving vineyard church in Baku, Azerbaijan. Wow. Yeah. They see anywhere from 3 to 5 new people coming to Jesus every single week. And they stand in front of the church and they testify in front of everybody, I'm committing my life to Jesus, which is a really big Muslim country. Okay, so every week people are coming to Jesus. This church is on fire. So anyway, we landed there and they took us to lunch. And when we got to the lunch, the restaurant had this little room on the side that we could meet in. And we went in there and they had one of the younger men from their church was already in there. And he was sitting there. And we ordered our food. We were waiting for the food to come. And we were telling some Holy Spirit stories. We were telling some stories about some of the things that God had done, the miracles that we'd seen. And all of a sudden, this young guy at the end of the table, and the interesting thing is, as soon as we walked in, I felt like the Lord said, something's going to happen with him. Something's going to happen. So I kept looking at him, you know, kind of, you know, now, Lord, is something happening now? You know, because I love being a part of what God's doing. So I wanted to watch and see, like, well, are you going to do it now? And I kept looking at him. Well, nothing's happening, nothing. So we're having this conversation. All of a sudden, he pipes up and he says, why doesn't any of that stuff ever happen to me? And before I even knew what I was saying, what came out of my mouth, because it was sort of like all of a sudden it was like, now, and say this. What came out of my mouth is, because you believe a lie. And the lie was, you believe a lie that because your wife left you and you ended up divorced, that you cannot receive the love of God. And that's why you haven't received, because you believe that lie, that God doesn't love you and doesn't approve of you. And he put his head down and started sobbing. We hadn't even gotten the food yet, and he's already, he's sobbing. Before the weekend was over, he was kneeling in front of the whole church, committing himself to spend the rest of his life serving in the church. And was filled with the Spirit. But there was a lie that had to be broken. There was a lie that had to be broken that was holding him. A lie about himself and a lie about the goodness and the mercy of God. Because the enemy will try to tell you God doesn't have mercy for you. You know, he'll try to tell you it's not for you. And it's all just lies. So you have to break the lies. You have to break. Those things can hold us in bondage and keep us from receiving our true inheritance. So, seven lies that keep us from receiving the Spirit's power. I'm going to give you right now. Seven different possible lies. Number one, the first lie is that God and his power aren't real. You'd be surprised how big that lie actually is. You know, I have to say that was the one that he used on me. That lie. It's not real. I grew up Pentecostal in a Pentecostal church. In the Pentecostal church, they talked about the Holy Spirit all the time. And I got saved hundreds of times. Some of you grew up Pentecostal, right? You know what I mean. But somewhere in my mind, I got the idea, this is all just emotional. It's not real power, it's just people getting emotional. It's all just kind of hyped up, that kind of thing. That's where I got the idea, and that lie actually kept me from receiving the real thing. And then when the Lord did come on me in power, the first thing I realized was, wait, hold on, like, this is real. This is, like, really real. This is here and now physical real. This is, like, real, like electricity's real, like lightning's real. You know, this is real. It's not fake. It's not emotional. It's a real thing. But as long as you believe that lie that it's not real, it's hard to receive. Well, that's the first one. Second lie, that is, power is not important. Well, it's nice if it happens, but it's not important, we say. It's a lie. The enemy will try to tell you, well, you know, it's okay. You can get by without it. You don't need the Holy Spirit, not really. That's what he'll try to tell you. Life is fine. You know, just, you don't need all that. And so you just think it's not important. I don't actually need it. And so if you don't think it's important, you don't wait. And if you don't wait, and if you don't ask, you don't receive. Because Jesus says this, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they will be filled. It's the ones who are hungry for God, the ones who are hungry for the Holy Spirit, who get filled. What the enemy does is he tries to keep you from getting hungry. He tries to tell you, you don't need it. You don't need it. It's not important. Third lie. He tries to tell people that the Holy Spirit is not really good or he's really dependable. Oh, you don't want to get mixed up with that Holy Spirit. You never know what's going to happen. He might make you do something really awful. You know, that's the lie, that the Holy Spirit would lead you to something that would be terrible for you. and that would not be good. That's the lie. But you know what Jesus himself said? Jesus himself said, it is to your advantage that I go away so I can send you the Holy Spirit. So it's better to have the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, than for Jesus himself to be here. Did you ever think about that? Like, you know, sometimes I think, you're like, why did you leave us, Jesus? Wouldn't it be nice to have Jesus around? But actually having the Holy Spirit's even better. Why? Because he can be with us everywhere, anytime, any place. Can you imagine if we had Jesus in the flesh still here trying to get into the meeting? It would be impossible. You know, you couldn't get to the meeting. But the nice thing is we can gather here in Kenya right now and experience the power of the Spirit and his presence and his love right here. And they can be doing the same thing at home in Chicago on the same day. So, you know, that's an advantage. There's an advantage to this. He is good and he is dependable. He will bring you into good things. In fact, better than you can imagine. Better than you can ever imagine. God has things in store for you by the power of the Spirit that are beyond all that you can ask or even think, the Bible says. You know, when I was getting close to retirement, I'm retired now, which means I'm no longer responsible and they don't pay me anything. And I just travel around and have fun with people like I'm doing right now. Okay? So that's retirement in the kingdom. It's kind of like being a grandfather, actually, in that you get to enjoy the grandchildren, but you aren't responsible for them. So as I'm coming up to retirement, somebody says to me, have you achieved your dreams for your life? And I laughed. And I said, oh, we passed those up so long ago, I can't even remember what they were. Because God, when I got the power of the Spirit, the next thing I know, I'm going way beyond my wildest dream. Like, it was not in my dreams, folks. I'm sorry, but it was not in my dreams to be standing here in Kenya. Like, I was kind of a homebody. I was not the person who said, when I grow up, I want to travel the world. That was not me. I wasn't that kind of a person. But when the Holy Spirit came, the next thing I know, I'm traveling the world. And now I have friends all over the world. And it's so good. It's wonderful. You know, it's better than I wanted, better than I hoped for, better than I dreamed for or planned for. And that's true for you. If you fall into the hands of the Holy Spirit and you turn everything over to him, he has better things for you than even you imagine. The devil will try to tell you that's not true. Fourth lie. The devil, and this is one of his absolute favorite lies, you're not good enough. You're not good enough, he'll say. Do you remember this that you did wrong? Do you remember that? Do you remember this other thing? Well, you don't know enough. You don't have enough degrees. You don't have enough of that. You don't have enough, you know, whatever he can pick on. Basically, it's all about you're not good enough. You're not strong enough. You know, it's not for you. You know, you have to be special to get stuff from God, and you're not special enough, he'll try to tell you. But the truth is, you don't have to be good enough. You just have to be hungry. Because you receive on the basis of Jesus being good enough. Yes? Jesus is good enough for everything, right? And so you are part of, you're with Jesus. You're with Jesus. You're with him. So this guy over here, Mark and I, we're going to be flying back to Chicago. And I have about 2.5 million miles on American Airlines. So when I get to the airport, we get to stand in the first class line and have a short line and do well. And I just say to them, he's with me. And he gets to be in the line with me. And we get all this special treatment. We get on the plane and they come up to me right away and they say, oh, what do you need? Do you need this? Do you need that? They give us all this. And he's with me, so he gets the same treatment. Listen, folks, you are with Jesus. You're with Jesus, and you get to travel with Jesus. You get to get the benefits of Jesus, so you don't have to be good enough in yourself because you're with Jesus. You get that? So you don't believe that lie that you're not good enough because it's irrelevant. You're with Jesus. So when you hear that lie, you just say, doesn't matter, I'm with Jesus. Doesn't matter, I'm with Jesus. Fifth lie, that God doesn't want to use you or can't use you. That, you know, you have no place. You know, so, you know, what would you do with it? And sometimes that comes in things like, you're too old, you're too young. You have too many children. You don't have enough children. You don't have enough education. You have too much education. You know what I mean, right? It's sort of like various reasons why God can't use us. Let me tell you something. If you're breathing and you're with Jesus, you have a purpose. If you're breathing and you're with Jesus, you got a purpose, and he wants to use you. Because God's not raising up a few superstars here and there. What he's doing is raising up an army of ordinary people who live lives that can only be explained by there with Jesus. You see that? So God wants to use you. And that means you need the Spirit as well. Well, if that doesn't work, number six, he gives you this lie. Well, if you let the Holy Spirit come on you and you let him start doing miraculous things through you, you'll become prideful. So you shouldn't let it happen. Yeah, that's what he'll tell you. You'll become prideful. So don't even go down that road. You don't want to be prideful. There's a simple remedy to that. It's simply called, just be honest about your mistakes and weaknesses. That's how you deal with pride, right? Just be honest about your mistakes and weaknesses. There's always plenty to work with, right? But don't hold back on what God is doing. Don't hold back on what God is doing. That's what the enemy, he wants you to stop. He wants you to hold back. And tell you that if you don't hold back, you'll become prideful. Well, not necessarily so. You know, some people became prideful, but that doesn't mean you have to be. And the simple remedy is be humble. Just be humble. Choose humility. Be honest. You know, and that'll solve it. And here's the interesting thing, and this is the seventh lie. If that one doesn't work, he'll tell you the exact opposite. He'll say, well, if you let the Holy Spirit come in your life, you'll lose your pride. You'll be embarrassed. If the Holy Spirit comes on you, you might do something weird that might make you embarrassed. I remember the first time I saw the Holy Spirit coming on somebody, it was this woman shaking her hands like this. And I'm thinking, oh, that's weird. That's really weird. She's got problems. I don't want to be like her. Little did I know that what I was going to do would make that look pretty tame. But you know what? When the Spirit came and I was like flopping on the ground like a fish, I didn't care. I didn't care what it looked like. I didn't care about my pride. I didn't care about how weird it was. First of all, I couldn't stop it anyway. But second of all, it was filled with the love of God, and I was experiencing his love. And when you experience that love, you don't care. You don't care what anybody thinks. You don't care what the deal is, because you're just caught up in his love. And it's wonderful and glorious, and you don't lose your pride. You know, in a certain sense, you don't lose your pride. The question really becomes then, if those are the lies, like, are you going to believe the truth? Are you going to believe a lie? Are you going to believe Jesus and follow his plan? Or are you going to let the devil rip you off? And you know, he's constantly trying to work on us with one of those little wedges to get between us and God so that we don't receive the fullness of what God has. Now, here's what I want to say to you. Some of you have received this much, but God wants to give you this much. And there's a little bit of a lie standing in the way. So we're going to just take just a minute right now, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask God to show you if there are any lies that the enemy's been trying to attack you with. Fair enough? We'll just be still for just a sec. Lord, I just pray you'll open our hearts and open our minds, make us aware if there are any places where the enemy's been trying to attack us or hold us back or rip us off, steal from us by telling us these kind of lies. Would you just show us that really clearly? Okay, if you realize that you've been fighting a lie that's maybe holding you back a little bit from receiving from God, what I want to ask you to do is just stand, because we're going to pray for each other. Everybody's going to pray for each other. Just stand up if you've been fighting some kind of lie recently. We all have our turns, and maybe it's you. So stand up if that's you. There's more. Come on, let's go. Stand up. Just stand up where you are. Okay, now look around. If you're near somebody who's standing, well, all you got to do is all you have to do is go up to that person, say, "What's the lie that you've been fighting?" And then you're going to put your hand on that person and you're going to say, "Holy Spirit, come and break the power of that lie." That's all you got to do. And you do that a couple times and God will set people free. So if you're not standing, look around, see if there's somebody near you, and then go to them.